teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential and then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own? With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Believe in Bengals podcast. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcots. There's been a lot of speculation. Even all the talking heads on ESPN is speculating that T. Higgins, because he did request a trade, because there has been no formal contract negotiations for a long-term deal between his representatives and the Cincinnati Bengals, that T. Higgins would lay down on the job and not perform his duties. I don't see it happening. I just can't see it happening. Before we dive into that, first let me tell you about Bet Online. It is the number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball to golf to NBA, even NHL hockey playoffs. All of the stats, the news, and scores are available by going to the website at believe.com. That's right. Or excuse me, betonline.com is where you want to go. It's the latest matchups and all the player props and all of the odds, just about every single sport. Again, go to the website today. Use your mobile device to get in on all the action by going to Bet Online. That's where the game starts. Now, let's talk about T. Higgins, because I heard all the guys, Dan Orlovsky, my good friend Adam Schefter, Swagoo, they're all talking about T. Higgins. When you get to the back end of the season, will he play without having the contract extension that he's wanted and that we all know he deserves? This is a guy that over 250 catches in his four seasons for the Cincinnati Bengals, roughly 80% of those catches have been a result of either a first down or a touchdown. That's an 80% touchdown to first down ratio. It's phenomenal, off the charts. But guess what? They don't know T. Higgins like we know T. Higgins. First of all, he's a bad dude. This dude ain't never laid down on nobody. You think he's going to be able to look Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase in the eyes, saying, hey, and grabbing his hamstring like they're insinuating on ESPN that he's not going to bring it when it's time to get down in these games? The Cincinnati Bengals understand that there's a Super Bowl on the horizon. There's one out there for them to get. When is he going to ever have another opportunity to do that? In the National Football League, it's a right now league. It's not about what I'm going to do 2-3 years from now or 5 years from now. If you got a chance to win it today, you better win it today, because tomorrow may never come. And so there's no doubt in my mind, T. Higgins is going to show up and be ready to play. This ain't a guy who's going to grab his hammy when he feels a little strain in the month of November and December. He'll go out in the cold rain and November mud and put in the work. That's all we've ever seen from T. Higgins, who's always been a consummate pro, by the way, who's never gave us any ounce of diva mentality. And that's what I'm hearing from the guys on ESPN, that all of a sudden T. Higgins is going to turn into some kind of diva. He hadn't even done it, would never do it. And these guys are way too close on this Cincinnati Bengals team and within that locker room They're not going to let one another down. You even saw Trey Hendrickson. He also asked for a trade. He also wants more money, and rightfully so. These players have produced beyond their status financially. They're right. They're within their right to ask for more money. But they also understand that it is a team game and that you don't want to let your teammates down. If you listen to Trey Hendrickson, he said, look, we have some lofty goals here. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. And we have a quarterback, and we have the other pieces to do it. That's all you need to hear. So if the guys from ESPN were paying attention, what they hear Trey Hendrickson saying, what you hear T. Higgins even saying, is that those goals, the team goals right now, are much greater than any individual goals. Yes, every single player wants to maximize their value. And if you had an 80% touchdown to first down catch ratio, you would say, yeah, look, man, I deserve not only $20+ million a year. I deserve a long-term contract that would give me and my family security. I even believe the Bengals believe and understand that. But it's how to make all of the pieces work. And that's what they're working on. That's what it's really complicated. But at the end of the day, I've done the research. If you are a franchise tagged player in this league, the number that you make for that year, that tends to be the floor. So T. Higgins, whether it's with the Bengals next year, with another team next year, he'll be making more than the $21 million a year. It's the same what happened with Jesse Bates. He's making more money than he made as the franchise tagged player during the 2022 season for the Cincinnati Bengals. So getting the franchise tag, it's not altogether a bad thing. It really means you have to wait another year to get the long-term contract extension you're looking for. But when you get that extension, the franchise tag value of that tag is going to be the floor for your agent to go out and negotiate you a contract with a much higher ceiling. That's the way the economic machine works in the NFL. So, having said that, and if they would have explained it that way on ESPN, we wouldn't be getting all hot and bothered about them saying T. Higgins could potentially shut it down in the middle of a season, in the middle of making a run for the Super Bowl. Sometimes I don't know where these guys, I think they just start talking just to have something to put on the air. Because I got to know they're smarter than that. I already know Orlovsky's smarter than that. I already know Swagoo is smarter than that. And my guy, he's my former colleague, Adam Schefter's definitely smarter than that. But if you go to the take that they had on Awful Announcing that they did on NFL Live, and they did a whole segment on T. Higgins, they're raising the question as to whether or not, when it gets thick during the upcoming 2024 season, will T. Higgins be there for the Bengals or not, based on the fact that he wants a contract extension. I can answer you that emphatically. Hell yeah, he's going to be there balling out, catching those 80-20 jump ball contested catches and then waving it across the goal line for a touchdown. T. Higgins is showing up come clutch time. You know why? He's a professional. He's got teammates like Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase who are counting on him. So he's going to be there. This is a very special year coming up for the Cincinnati Bengals. All hands on deck, baby. Who that? Right now, we're joined by a very special guest, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver coach Troy Walters, joining us on the show. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Always glad to be on the show.
Oh, look, it's always good to have you. And we should let everybody know that during your time as a wide receiver, you were an accomplished player. Anyone who can take home the Fred Biletnikoff Award as the college football's best wide receiver, that's a baller, man. So we need to let people know that and give you a shout out. Congratulations.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I had a blessed career. Was blessed to play with a lot of great players, a lot of great coaches. And, you know, I really draw back on those experiences to help me as a coach today. So very blessed, appreciative of everyone who helped me to get to where I got to. And now I'm in a position to help my guys be the best that they can be.
Well, it also lends to a great deal of credibility. You got a room full of alphas in the wide receiver room that you're coaching, but they can look and see that you put your game where your knowledge is, where your talents are. And so I think that goes a long way with young players today. And then when you're coaching these players, just kind of give us an overview philosophically. What are some of the points of emphasis that you help young wide receivers to know that here's what's going to be needed to play in the National Football League today?
Yeah, number one, it's about building a relationship with these guys and making sure that they understand and they know that you care about them more than just football players, but as people, right, as men. And that's what I try to do with everyone. You know, we're doing that now with the rookies, with Jermaine and the guys that and Cole Burgess, the guys we've brought in, trying to get to know them and you know, their likes, their dislikes, allow them to get to know me and who I am as a man. You know, I had dinner with my family the other day to allow them to get to know who I am off the field. And so that's number one. And then number two, I told the guys, and I continue to reiterate, that there's three keys to be a great receiver in this league to me. And number one is you got to be able to get off press coverage. You got to have, you know, be able to get off press in this league and in the division that we're in. You know, you're playing teams that 8 out of 10 times they're going to get up in your face and try to prevent you from getting off the line. So we've got to be creative. We've got to understand, be confident in our press release game. And so we work on that every day. Number two is the top of the routes, is making sure that you're able to create separation at the top of your route. You know, in college, you've got 2 or 3, 4 yards of separation. In the league, you'll be lucky to have a yard. And so we've got to be good with our technique. We've got to be good with when to use a rocker step, when to use different type of techniques. The angles back to the football, back to the quarterback, all make a difference.
Yeah.
And then number three is contested catches. You know, we've got to have great hands. We've got to be able to make those contested combat type catches and make the difficult catches. Yeah. And the great receivers, they can do all three. Good receivers can probably do two. And then, you know, guys that are trying to make it in this league probably only do one. So those are really the focus, things we focus on daily in practice. And if we can be great at those, then we'll be a pretty good unit.
See, that's great coaching right there, because what you did, you took some very complex information and you simplified it for us laymen, you know, for those guys who, you know, who are trying to learn. You just made it very easy, Coach. I love it. You got to be able to win press. You got to be able to separate at the top of the route. And then you got to be able to win those contested balls. Before we move on further in the interview, I got to pay an homage to our guy, Tyler Boyd, who played 8 seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. You had a chance to coach him. What was it about Tyler Boyd? He could do all three of those things very well. I just love the heart and the determination that he brought to the position. This guy was tough as nails, and he was willing to do the dirty work. Didn't mind blocking in the run game, didn't mind blocking and helping his teammates to become better. What is it that you could say about him in terms of what made him good in the NFL as a wide receiver?
Biggest thing for me, he was consistent. Every day he was the same TB. You know, he never up, never down, always the same, always had a smile on his face, positive energy.
Yeah.
He was the leader in our room, in the receiver room.
Yeah.
And like you said, he did it all. You know, he could run good routes, strong hands, made the tough catches, would block his butt off, you know, just a great leader, great role model, embraced young guys when they came into the building. He was really the guy that, you know, orchestrated all the different activities the receivers would partake in. And so just a great teammate. I was blessed to be a part, you know, 4 years to be a part of helping him develop and coaching him. And, you know, he's going to be missed, and we got to make sure we find guys that can fill in for what he did. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best in Tennessee.
Certainly some big shoes to fill. But the eye in the sky don't lie, right? When you put the tape on, I'm telling you, what we see with Jermaine Burton are some real positive things. What is it that this coaching staff saw in him? I think it's a huge find in the third round, by the way. But I see a guy who's explosive. I see a guy that's got this tremendous yards per catch average over the course of his career. He runs great routes. He can play in the slot, but he could take you deep if he's playing outside. What kind of caught your eye as a coach, and what are some of the points of emphasis to help him get where he wants to be?
Yeah, well, you named a bunch of the characteristics that we saw. You know, first of all, he's explosive. In this league, you got to be explosive. You got to have twitch. You got to have that speed to create and put fear in the defenders and be able to separate. And he has that. He has great ball skills. I don't think he had a drop last year on tape. And, you know, he makes the contested catches. He goes up. He can high point the ball. And he's tough. He can catch the ball in traffic. And he's got that it to him. He's got that swag to him, which sometimes can be harmful. But you know, I think we'll direct it in the right way. And you know, he's got that dog in him, and so that's going to help in this league. And you know, definitely he's got some maturing to do. But I think we all do. And we were 21, 22. Yeah. You know, we all had growing up to do and maturing to do. And I think this building, this culture that we have, will help provide the resources and help him to continue to mature, continue to grow, and not only on the field but off the field. And I think we're going to get a good football player that has really first round talent in our eyes. You know,
yeah,
if it wasn't for kind of off the field things, I think he would have gone earlier than we got him. So luckily we got him when we did, and now it's all about developing him. Number one, off the field, just making sure he understands that his decisions that he makes, they have consequences. They're impactful. Mm-hmm. And then on the field, you know, just continue to develop, continue to watch the guys ahead of him, continue to get those reps, build that chemistry with Joe, and just continue to work. And he loves football.
That's good.
He loves getting on the field. And so he's done a great job this first week of phase two offseason program.
I love what you said earlier about just building relationships with players, because that's so very important. And you know this, players, even back when we played, and as long as the game's been played, I think players who really take to coaching feel the same way. They only care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And then at that point, you can begin to pour into them and share the knowledge that you have about the position. So you're well on, spot on when it comes to building these relationships. And I always say, look, there's no player, as good as they can be, there's no player that comes into the NFL having checked all the boxes, because our game is just so different than the college game. So help our listeners to understand that, at least for wide receivers, how the game here is different and there's still some new learning, even for a player who's polished and as talented as Jermaine Burton.
Yeah, you know, guys here, there's no weak links on defenses here. I think in college you'll go up against a guy every now and then that's just not very good, and you'll be able to expose him. Here, day in and day out, you're going against the top. You're going against the elite, and so you got to have your A game every play, every snap. The guys here are physical. You're going to see more press coverage here than you do in college. So you got to be able to win versus press. You got to be able to win. You know, you might have an outside breaking route and they're playing outside leverage or press. So you got to have different ways to defeat leverage. You got to understand at the top of the route what techniques are necessary to win. You're going to see a whole lot of coverages here in college. You know, you're going to in the NFL than you do in college. You're going to see, you know, cover three, different versions of cover three, cover two, man. You know, so you just the processing is a lot different in the NFL. And the number one thing I'd say to the guys that are coming in when I talk to them on Zoom before the draft is, if you become a Bengal, the first thing I've got to do is install this playbook. You've got to learn the playbook. You've got to understand what to do so that you can go out and play fast. You can utilize your God-given abilities. And the playbooks here in the NFL are a lot more complex than they are in college. College now, it's really just hand signals, one or two hand signals, and they know the play. They typically stay on one side of the field, and they learn one position. And here, you've got to learn, you know, all three positions. The verbiage can be long at times, and so just the mental approach is a lot different than in college.
That's really good stuff. I want to get this last question in and have you help me to understand that 7-on-7 leagues are everywhere now. It's in every state. And I think it's been great for young wide receivers, kids who want to play the position. They're learning so much more about the game, how to run routes, how to read coverages, right? How to high point the ball. They're learning this at very early age. And we're now seeing wide receivers come into our game. They're a little more polished. They've had more reps. They've had more experiences. They've been able to go and work with quarterbacks and work with trainers to learn the more nuanced elements of being able to play the position. And that's why we're finding talented wide receivers deeper in the draft. What perspective can you give our listeners about how 7-on-7 leagues and how the wide receiver position has truly grown over the last few years, where we're getting more skilled and polished players at that position coming into the league year over year?
It definitely is a good thing. You know, to me, I tell the guys all the time, to be a great receiver and to be a great route runner, you've got to do it.
That's right.
The more times you can run routes, the more time you can, you know, hear a play and go out and execute it, the better you're going to be. And so, like you said, nowadays, 7-on-7 is really year round. So guys are playing year round. They're running routes year round. You know, they're going 1-on-1 year round. It just helps them. It helps their skill set, helps their ball skills. And so they do come in a lot more polished than probably when I played a long time ago. And that helps as receiver coaches, because now, you know, they come in and you don't have to spend as much time maybe on route running as you used to. And so you can get right into some other specifics. So it's definitely a positive. And nowadays, a lot of the college offenses are spread. And so they're throwing the ball a lot more than when I played, when it was a West Coast, two back, two tight ends. Now you're in spread. And so the guys are, they're being more exposed to just receiver play. And there's some great receiver coaches in college. I look throughout the college football, and there's some great guys coaching that position, both on the field and off the field. And so it's definitely making our job a lot easier, and very appreciative of those guys at the lower levels.
Coach, one last one. T. Higgins is such a pro. I love the fact that, you know, he's saying all the right things and he's showing up for work and willing to, he's always been a first rate pro. Given the situation, what are some of the coaching points? What's the conversation like with him? As you guys, as a team, you have your goals. He has individual goals, that's for sure. But what's the conversation like with making sure that everything just is not a distraction, that you guys continue to press forward as you enter the 2024 season?
Yeah, well, my number one job as a coach is to get the players to play to the best of their ability. And so that's my message to him. Like, you know, a lot of this is out of your control. You can't do anything. All you can do is get your body right, get your mind right, to have the best season that you can have. And if you do that, everything else is going to take care of itself. And
that's right.
You know, T's a worker. We really came in together in 2020. And he's worked his tail off. He's gotten better each year. You know, definitely he understands he's got to stay healthy and play an entire 17 plus game season. And if he does, then, you know, he's going to have everything that he wants is going to come to him. And so he understands that. And he's working hard this offseason. You know, he loves Cincinnati. He loves being here. He loves the team, the offense. And, you know, so I think the best is ahead for him. And my job, like I said, when he shows up and he's here, is to get him to play his best ball. And if he does that, then we've got a chance to do something special here.
Yeah, you really do. And I can't compliment you guys enough, and Zach Taylor, the head coach, and the assistant coaches, the entire staff, on just the kind of culture that you guys have built for these players, because they really do, you know, kind of put the team first. And these guys work so well together. Every time I'm around them and I see how well they treat one another, you guys don't have the selfishness. You don't have the, you know, me over we kind of scenarios that can grow on football teams.
Do you ever watch TV and think, wow, I'm really good at this? You're right. With Rewards on Sling, watching 30 minutes of TV daily gives you chances to win up to $10,000 in cash and other monthly prizes. Sign up for Sling or stream for free with Sling Free Stream to get rewarded for watching TV. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/rewards to learn more and get started. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Visit sling.com/rewards/official-rules for more details.
You guys are to be commended for the culture that you've been able to build with this football team. Always great having you on the show, Coach. Wish you all the best, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're back here on the Believe in Bengal podcast. Yours truly, Solomon Wilcox. And you're probably checking out my lid. It's by Mellin, M-E-L-I-N. You can go to the website at mellin.com/Bengals. You get 30% off this fabulous lid. Look at it. It's cold. I love it. This thing, it can shape to whatever face you have. They have these hats that come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. They're phenomenal. They float. The material is phenomenal. If it landed in a puddle of water, it wouldn't sink. It would float. It's so light, airy, but it's a wonderful hat. So you can go to the website to get your own by going to melin.com, melin.com/bengals to get 30% off of your lid. As we close out today's show, I'm here to tell you, and I'm telling everyone, because we had a chance to talk to the coach, the wide receiver coach, that is Troy Walters, about Jermaine Burton. I believe this guy is not only going to be able to fill in admirably for one of my favorite Bengals, Tyler Boyd. I'm sad, to be honest with you, to see him go. He gave us 8 stellar seasons. He ended up 4th on the all-time reception list for Cincinnati Bengals wide receivers. This guy did all the dirty work. But I'm telling you, this Jermaine Burton, if what I'm seeing on tape, what I'm hearing from NFL scouts around the National Football League, and if what we just heard from Troy Walters, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver coach, this is a guy who they drafted in the 3rd round with first round talent. This is a guy that's going to get a lot of single coverage with T. Higgins on the outside, with Jamar Chase on the outside. He's going to get single coverage over the middle of the field. He's a great route runner, trained by our very own T.J. Hushmanzada. Remember how T.J. used to run those option routes over the middle of the field? He was a great slot receiver, by the way. He's instilled some of those same tools and that same technique and that same teaching in Jermaine Burton. But Burton has 4.4 vertical speed. So he's got that short area quickness that allows him to separate, like what Troy Walters was talking about on those short area routes. But this guy's got vertical. I mean, he's averaged 16 yards per catch over his career. He's had seasons where he had over 20 yards per reception. You can't even pull a guy flag. Forget about tackle football. You can't tackle him. You can't even pull his flag. I think the big play, it just came back to the Cincinnati Bengals offense. Imagine on offense where you got a Jamar Chase to worry about, a T. Higgins to worry about, and now you've got this guy, Jermaine Burton. And I'm not forgetting about Andre Yosevich. I'm not forgetting about Trent Irwin, who I absolutely love. Those guys can straight out ball. And you know they ain't going to just hand it over to Jermaine Burton. They have vision and dreams of greatness in replacing Tyler Boyd within the lineup and getting their lion's share of the plays as well. All I'm saying is this guy's a cut above. His talent, yes, there's been some things in his past, but look, I can tell you right now, all of us in our college days did some things that maybe we're not proud of. Today with social media, those things tend to come to light sooner rather than later. And you have to be accountable for those things. And he's going to have to be accountable with his behavior and his choices and the decisions that he makes moving forward. But being in a locker room with some real cool guys, with some real leaders like T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, he has an opportunity to make a name for himself in this league. I've always said, it's not about when you go in the draft. In other words, what round? 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. It's about where you go. And he landed in the jungle. He landed with the Cincinnati Bengals, with Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. And with Troy Walters as his wide receiver coach. You get Troy Walters as your wide receiver coach, you get these two guys playing on the outside, and you got Joe Burrow throwing you the rock with the talent that he has. You got another Cincinnati Bengal, former, that is, and T.J. Hushmanzada, schooling you to the game. I will tell you this, the table is set for great things to happen for the rookie campaign of one Jermaine Burton and for the Cincinnati Bengals passing game for this entire offense. The offensive line, they're big getting off the bus, baby. They're blocking out the sun. But we now have some playmakers that can put the ball in the end zone. This is going to be a fun year, y'all. So Houday, don't forget, got to keep watching. We're going to be here every single week giving it to you right here on Believe in Bengals on Bally Sports Ohio. Thank you for joining us, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.